going to be a good night.
Here we go again.
Oh, no!
Lights out. And now the movies, folks.
You asked for it? We've got it, the Goularty Music Party. For the next 2 hours, we've got a lot of the great songs that Goularty used to feature on his television show at Channel 8 back in the 60s. With me once again, live in the studio from Fox Channel 8, Big Chuck Shadowski. Chuck, welcome.
Chris, how you doing?
Oh, man.
Really great. It's really great to be back. I get a lot of response to what we did last time. I'm really looking forward to
it. I'm still getting calls. People still coming up to me, calling me, sending me emails and stuff, going, we got to have more. When are you going to do it? You know, it's just crazy. Again, with me in the studio tonight, Ron Swede, the Ghoul.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Pump your magic twanger over there.
Pleasure to be here, Chris, and I try to speak for Chuck and Michael Chevsky on either side of me that the checks didn't clear from the last show, but we're here nonetheless.
Well, the check is in the mail.
Okay.
I've heard that.
Yeah, likely story.
Oh, my. And also joining us once again, Michael Chevsky.
All right. Hello, Chris.
Hey.
I see you padded the wall since the last time. Good idea.
and signed a few, too.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, I don't know, Chuck has said, and I'm sure you've experienced the same thing, Ron, and also Mike, with the response from the people since we did the tribute broadcast.
It's been incredible.
I know. Brilliant. Well, everybody's been asking about music. Of course, that was a lot of the questions in the tribute were centered around the songs that were used on Goularty's show over the years. And tonight we thought we'd put together a couple of hours of some of the greatest tunes of his era, and I have really done some investigating and come up with a few goodies that you probably haven't heard here in a while, which we're going to lay on you. But I'll tell you what, let's start out with a great guitar instrumental called Pink Dominoes tonight.
Yeah.
What do you guys know about that? What do you remember about that tune?
Well, Chuck brought that into Ernie, right?
Yeah, I don't remember much about that. That was one of the later ones. The early music, see, before I worked in television, I worked in a foundry. Came right out of high school, worked in a foundry, alloys and chemicals. It was an aluminum smelting foundry. And I worked a night shift being new, and I was the only white guy in the whole place. So everybody listened to Alan Freed.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, you know, the only music I knew in my life were polkas. I didn't think there were anything else existed. But all around me was Alan Freed and late night blues stations I never heard of. So that's where I picked up on all these the blues music and saved a lot of them and brought them down to Ernie. But Pink Dominoes came later. I don't know where I got that one.
That was, and it came out in December of 1963, it was still in the first year. But the reason I was starting with that is because that has a definite Goularty tie. This group was from Oxnard, California.
Yes, Oxnard.
No joke. Yes, a group from Oxnard, California, and it was led by a female guitar teacher whose name was Kayo Aishi.
Yeah, and say that backwards one time, and you get Amrath.
I walked into a restaurant and said, Kayo Aishi, they brought out 5 ribs and an egg roll. You know what I mean?
Great.
You know, to tell you the truth, I always thought Ron brought Pink Diamonds. I swear. I always thought you brought that.
No, that was there when I got there.
All right, then I must have brought it.
But see, as we talked about this last time, this whole music thing, Ernie's tastes were in jazz.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Strictly, yeah. And it was Chuck that provided this whole huge backlog of music. We would not be we'd be listening to jazz tonight if it was not for Chuck.
Well, apparently he hated rock and roll because when I spoke to him, I said, you know, you gave Ron Swede a lot of great opportunities. He met the Beatles because of you. And he said, you call that an opportunity?
He didn't like the Beatles from day one.
Well, we got a few surprises. We'll alternate the rock and roll with some of the surprises. But I figured we'd start out with this one because this is a good guitar tune to kind of rev us up here tonight. Pink Dominoes by the Crescents.
Thank you.
How's it going out there? How come the music ran short? Wait a minute, I already got glasses on.
How prophetic.
Yes.
Pink Dominoes by the Crescents, from the group from Oxnard, California, one of the great background songs used by Goulardi through the years at Channel 8. Now, we were talking about, okay, rock and roll. Ernie was into jazz and blues and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I came up with a goodie here that is kind of hard to find. Oscar Peterson Trio. The Incoherent Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I had that on a 45, and I played that for an use.
Yeah, you know, we were at a, I think in Ashland, a personal appearance one night, and again, it was freezing. It was probably around May, and he had the top down to that gold Mustang, because it didn't matter, boy. Once the snow quit flying, the top was down. And we stopped at this little place called Amico's or D'Amico's, and said, we're going to have a good dinner for a change. And I was begging him, can't we get a big Goulardi and a big... I don't eat that garbage. You're going to eat some good spaghetti tonight. And in the lobby as we walked through to be seated was the placard, and appearing weekends was the Four Feathers, some jazz combo.
The Four Feathers.
The Four Feathers. And Ernie was just in tears the whole night. The Four Feathers. Jeez, oh, man. He just laughed about the Four Feathers. And we almost, didn't have to do this show Friday night. We go see the Four Feathers, Ron.
No, you bring up a good point. Raw.
Yeah.
Whenever I heard anything, it was raw.
Oscar Peterson Trio, jazz great Oscar Peterson, and, of course, the fellow that does the vocal here, Clark Terry, was in Johnny Carson's In the Tonight Show band for some time.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yes,
oh.
And Clark used to do mumbles, which was the up-tempo version of Incoherent Blues, and Johnny Carson every so often would goad him into doing it. But Incoherent Blues was just really a great song,
yeah,
and perfect for the late night show.
I still have that 45 at Channel 8.
I forgot all about it.
And Captain Ignatz, I think, has a copy of that back
there. That insane Ignatz.
Yes. All right. Well, let's do a little Oscar Peterson right now, and maybe we can all mumble along here.
All right.
I have it.
It's
Sounds like he's had too many breakfasts with the Big Egg. You know,
yeah.
What I mean?
A couple big ladies there.
Can they talk about Louie, you know?
Oscar Peterson Trio, the Incoherent Blues.
They don't write them like that anymore.
Oh, boy, chance.
Oh, my goodness. So many great songs. Like I said, we want to alternate back and forth between rock and roll and the jazz blues type thing. So I got another rock and roll song here, which I didn't know what the title was until I talked to Chuck originally, right before we did their tribute back in February, and that's The Bat by The Ventures.
Yeah.
And how did you pull that out? Did you just pull it off the album there? Or?
I don't know. Here again, I keep thinking it's one of Ron's.
It is.
Yeah,
okay.
Is that one you came up with, Ron?
Doing, Ernie's Mail. We used to get stuff from Liberty every week. Huge promo packages. The other companies were pretty skimpy. And there was the Ventures in Space album. Boom. And so I brought it up to Chuck. Chuck said, that sounds like it'd be good stuff. And so it was.
Well, I can understand why Liberty was very, very nice to you guys. I mean, you know, considering Papa Umau Mau, when it came out in 62, just barely made it halfway up the charts. And here a year later in 63, because of Goulardi, that hit the number one slot in Cleveland for like 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And they had to go back and repress a whole bunch of copies.
And there was a lot of imitators as well, weren't there?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Trashmen.
Right, the Trashmen came along with the Surfing Bird and all
What's
that stuff.
What's the word?
But, I mean, the Rivingtons, I mean, they couldn't do enough. They were out on a plane and on Ernie's Laurel Goulardi and Hardy show.
Right, Saturday afternoon.
You know, but since the last time, has anybody come up with, what was the song we were looking for, Abu Dhabi?
No, I haven't yet. I have searched high, low, forwards, backwards, sideways. I've gone through databases. I've called many parts of the country, and the last resort, I am going to try to contact somebody out in Los Angeles that is an expert on 60s oldies there, and see if they know, because I just have the feeling that was either a regional or a local.
Yeah,
you know, Ernie brought back with him.
Are you sure that's the name of it? Because a lot of times when I try to find something, I'm looking for the wrong. You know,
no, I remember the act because he brought it back. We can pinpoint the date for you because that's when Ernie came back from the West Coast thing where he was on Gunsmoke.
Okay,
that's right. And he brought it back, and I remember the exact name on it.
Yeah, the guy would say Abu Day, and then the chorus would say Hey.
Right. But it was it. It was a studio demo, was the thing, though.
It was?
Yeah, it was a studio demo.
Maybe it never made it.
It might never have been released. That could be a real real problem trying to find that one. Unless it was just a local release, something some L.A. group, you know, might happen to put out there.
There's got to be a way to get that.
I'll be back. I will try. I will definitely try. I mean, I've been searching high and low. And I might as well lay this one on you now because we were talking about this last time around.
Okay.
And nobody could find this thing, let alone knew what the heck it was. Do you remember? There it is! Aikurimoya!
Okay. Now, at this point, there was film being spun around, flying all over the place.
Do you have the lead into that, or did you have this?
No, this came, believe it or not, from our engineer here at the station who had this on a reel-to-reel tape buried in his cedar chest, you know, for 30-some years.
Yeah.
And he dug it out for me because he knew I was doing the show. And I put it through the EQ and all the processing to clean it up so it didn't sound so bad. But that's all he's got is this clip. But I have been on the phone all day today with polka experts all over northeastern Ohio, and that's a Polish polka as opposed to a Slovenian.
Okay.
And the actual name of the English title is the Mountaineers Polka.
All right.
The Mountaineers Polka.
Okay.
The group that recorded that and called it the Glardy Polka, that's the same song.
Right.
Muda, 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 whatever.
Right. But let me check my notes here. It's got some weird spelling like Garolu or something like that.
Yeah, Goro Polka.
Yeah, and it's done by Frank Wojnarowski, Wojnarowski.
Frank, if you're out there, why don't you call in?
The reason Ernie liked that is I never told him. I told him I had a new record, and it started the record that I had started out. It sounded like something the Cleveland Orchestra would play,
right? Yeah,
violins. And then, you know, like a chorus singing, and then the guy goes, hey, cool.
You know, classical.
Yeah. Well, it was a total opposite of what you expected.
With all the hooping and hollering there, right?
You know, speaking of polkas that we have to do later in the show, let's get the listeners ready for it.
Uh-oh.
Let's do our Ernie Anderson Parma tribute like we did last time. Remember, we had everybody, as soon as we hit the music, we're going to have everybody.
What was that word you said?
We said Parma. Hey! All right, let's do it all now. Everybody on the freeway, everybody in the street, you hear the music? Stop your car. That's right. Hit the brakes.
There goes Lakeside Avenue.
Open up the car doors. We want you to run around your car. All right, everybody, run around those cars. All right.
Yeah, we're looking out the window. We can see you.
We're looking out the window. We can see you. And we're going to do it throughout the show. It's the Ernie Anderson tribute.
You know, this show is a real adrenaline rush. You get that idea? Good grief.
Did you say rush or flush?
Oh.
Hey, this is the kind of stuff you don't hear on the educational stations. Am I not right?
They got funding to worry about, don't they?
Right. Well, we could always auction off the turntables or something.
Good night.
Well, listen, we did start this whole thing talking about the bat.
The bat, that's so, right.
That's right.
I always loved it because you come out of a commercial break or out of the film into a segment with that thing in the background. It was really kind of neat to hear, you know, with the sirens.
Oh, yeah,
and the
great sounds.
Yeah, the rolling music, you know. So let's give a listen to The Ventures with the Bat.
Oh, man.
The Ventures with the Bat.
Do you know a thought occurred to me today?
You had a thought?
Yeah, I really did. Boy, did it hurt. Oh, man, my whole face. It was like root canal for a minute. But anyhow, you know, Dorothy and Captain Penny has some relative tranquility for a few decades.
Yeah.
But Ernie's up there with them now.
You know, that's a good
He's
point.
He's giving them heck again.
To make me laugh so hard.
Traipsing down the yellow brick road together, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Hey, groupies. What do you say out there? Chip Knip, say you're going to love the movie tonight. This movie is so good, they didn't want to waste tonight, so they made an opening. It's called 5 o'clock. Does that make it? Is that a one of them? You're going to love the movie. It's 3/4 open. You notice Gulardi's got himself a new crash helmet. Kniff. New Kniff hat. What is this? My dingy-dongy friend, the horse player. Hey, you're closing out, horse better. See you that, Scott, baby. Listen, let's enjoy the movie. Those of you that can't read, hang in there. Goulardi will read it for you. I have a feeling there are a lot of folks who watch this little gold that can't read. So let's sit back and relax and watch the movie picture.
It's pretty sound like you just get back from Pierre's, and
right.
But none of that was scripted.
Now, wait a minute. I got to ask you guys something. You would be the guys to know. Now, there are always these rumors about, you know, Ernie would run out of the building and go to Seagram's, the bar that used to be, like, what, three steps down the street from Channel 8, and then he'd come back, and he'd say, you know what, you're on in, like, 30 seconds. What? And then he'd run back. Is that true?
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, they wouldn't even tell him 30 seconds. He'd be watching the TV, and they dissolved to the set.
Oh, is that right? So he'd be watching
the movie. I'm running down, and they'd pan the set for about 20 seconds.
And there wasn't nothing to pan because it was all dark. Yeah. They'd show the chair and the light, and then back to the chair.
the one-camera operation, right?
But talking about Cyclops, here's a test for you, Chuck. And for you, Mike, if you remember. The very first night that they did the color cast of Goulardi, do you remember what the movie was? Because he did an opening to that.
Oh,
it was
man.
The House of Wax. The opening was a clip of John Wayne. I think we're going to run him out of town. And then he hit somebody, and they went to Batman style, whack, W-H-A-C-K. And he did this about five times. Repeat the whole thing. I think we're going to run him out of town. Whack. Did it five times. Whack, whack, whack.
Goulardi presents House of Wax.
Well, the Cyclops movie that he was talking about, that was one of those deals where Chuck, yes, you superimposed him into the movie, and he had fun with it like this.
Quick, call for Jungle Larry.
The one I always remember, though, is the giant behemoth, which they used to show every other week. And he was always in that giant behemoth having a cup of coffee. Here comes the giant behemoth. Look out. Oh, it's just wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff.
Oh, more great music. We're going to go back to the blues side of things. And this one, either one of you two, Chuck or Ron, Jimmy McGriff and the song Turn Blue that he actually wrote for Ernie.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, he did. He was at Moe's Main Street. Was that where we were?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a popular night spot back then.
Yeah, I went down there once to see him with Ernie, and they really, you know, hit it off. What was the song we used to play before that? I've Got a Woman.
I've Got a Woman. Right. Yeah. That was Jimmy McGriff's real big hit.
Yeah, right, and that was the sound of the Laurel, Goulardi, and Hardy show Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm.
So because Ernie, you know, had him down to the show and all that, he wrote that Turn Blue just for Ernie.
And that's perfect for doing, you know, that rolling talk. Want to do Turn Blue now, Jimmy McGriff. And I can just close your eyes and picture Goulardi giving you his words of wisdom.
And why not hold your breath during this so you'll actually turn blue?
Written specifically for Ernie Anderson.
A double whammy.
We shouldn't have done that to a nice old adorable goose like Goulardi. I'm going to have to whack you with my coolest box. I certainly hope you've seen the latest invention of the Ghoul Kateer groupers. This is a very special. This really knocks Goulardi out. Big, it's a coolant box. You press here. And the little man cools it for you.
Early Goulardi, because he has that accent, which he lost. Sort of a...
Well, that cooler box, who sent that? The Unabomber or what? Let me blow that up
for you.
In his
formative years there.
Oh!
Look at that. We're reduced to popping balloons now, gang.
Wait a second. You, Captain, you...
Balloon balloons!
You can't do that.
Look, kiddies, cooler with the boom boom.
Yes, please.
Right.
The boom boom. The boom boom. Fighting your Goulardi to death over there.
Yeah, you never saw Ernie sitting on a stool popping a balloon.
Darn right. He went right for the explosives.
They're real stuff over there.
That's what he had gophers for. Kid, light this up, right?
Yeah, right?
Yes, sir, Mr. Anderson. Then he'd ridicule me on the air because my hand was shaking.
Oh, my.
And a steady run.
Hey, I want to play a song now that Goulardi used to use quite a bit, and it's one of your favorites, near and dear to your heart.
Okay,
and
I know what it is.
That's the song called Cherokee.
Mm.
Yeah, I couldn't believe this when you played this.
Which is actually a big band tune written by a guy by the name of Ray Noble. Yeah,
but Chuck came up with this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. This particular version was done in 1960 by a group that just called themselves the Cherokees, and as hard as I've tried to find out who they are, where they came from, or anything else, has been absolutely nothing in print.
Where'd you find it, Chuck?
You know, well, I don't want to give away my age, but I did when the big bands, music was popular, they used to play it a lot. I mean, all of the big bands had a record or a version of it, and I just liked it, and then I ran across this as a more modern version.
Yeah, it is. I mean, yeah, it was a big band standard, but
right.
I never heard this exact version.
The more rock and rollish type version of it.
I mean, this sort of typifies Ernie. I've Got a Woman, Desert Rat, and Cherokee, those early Goulardi months when
All
he
right.
puts it on the air.
Let's do it. Cherokee by the Cherokees.
Oh. Cherokee by the Cherokees. Just bouncing along to that song.
That was a hello!
call. Knock on the phone. You know one of Bernie's favorite knock on the phones was? Yeah. Hello. What, do I ever take my kids to the zoo? No, I figured the zoo wants them. Let them come and get them.
Well, we have a phone call coming up a little bit later on here in the show. So, we talked to Dwayne about 2 years ago, and when I did talk to him, I asked him about Desert Rhett. And he says, oh, yeah, I remember that song. And I told him, I said, well, you would not believe that in Cleveland that song was more popular than Boss Guitar. He says, really? And I explained why, because of Ernie Goulardi doing the thing with that song. And he says, you know, that was really a throwaway song in the studio that the guys just kind of wanted to loosen up and jam together and do some blues, something different than the straight rock and roll that they used to do with Dwayne. You know, and they did that and just put it down. I think he said it was like one or two takes, something real simple, within about 15 minutes, and bam.
Look at that.
Yeah, because when he does do a live show, that's never
He doesn't do it. And the keyboard player on that cut was a guy by the name of Larry Nechtel, who went on to become Bread.
Part
of the group Bread in the 70s that was super popular. We got the Desert Rhett coming up here, but I think I want to do that one now because it's such a great song. It's one of the most, other than Papa Umamau, I think that's one of the most identifiable songs with Ernie and Goulardi. And I remember when I discovered that it was on the flip side of Boss Guitar, it was like, wow, man, gold!
You know? Yeah, exactly. Because Boss Guitar really wasn't that great a song.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it was one of those mid-20s chart things that he did. But you know,
when did Desert Rhett come out?
That came out in early 1963, like January or first part of February. Okay. Of course, Boss Guitar did so-so on the charts, but Desert Rhett, everybody wants it.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to hear that. I saw people walking around. I think there must have been four or five people that bought copies of it at the record show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That was the height of the twang guitar, wasn't it?
how much is a copy going for now?
Most of the dealers that I saw that had the record in reasonably decent condition, it was going for like between $6 and $8.
Yeah, well, I've seen it for $8. Yeah. So that's a pretty good price.
Which is not unreasonable. And of course, the more scarce it gets, the more demand and the higher the price goes.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously there's only so many of those things that were pressed. Yeah. However, they did come out with a compact disc that was done by RCA in Germany, and it's called Dwayne Eddy, the Best of the RCA Years, Hits and Rarities. And this is available, and it has the Desert Rhett on it.
Does this Chris Quinn do his research or what? Look at this.
Certainly does. Well, after our last show, and he told me about it, I went down to the Rock Hall, and that's where I found it.
You got a copy down there?
Yeah, got it down there.
Very good. Well, let's do a little Desert Rhett here now from Mr. Twang, Dwayne Eddy. I love the way this thing opens up.
Yeah. I mean, it conjures up no other image but the Goulardi. Thank you.
And Gulardi says, cool it, I mean it.
All right, here's another Gulardi quiz.
Oh, boy.
What did Ernie used to call Chuck when he wanted to call him over? You remember Chuck?
Well,
where's
the Jeopardy music?
Chucky Sweets.
Right.
Get on over here.
Chucky Sweets.
Yeah, in fact, I showed that the letter that he wrote to me typed on there. It says Chucky Sweets.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
In fact, my wife can tell you when he'd call at 4 o'clock in the morning, forgetting that it's 4 o'clock here, you know, so 1 o'clock you'd come home, you know, half-crocked. And the phone would ring, my wife jump out of bed, oh, my God. And I said, you know, it's probably Ernie. And she'd say, when he'd talk, you know, he wouldn't say, hello, how are you? He'd right. just say, Chucky Sweets. She said it'd fill her whole head up, his voice. You know?
I know.
Oh, man, guys.
Now, what was that? Was that a cello on that song? In the beginning?
It sounds like a cello, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cello, bass, viol, something like that.
Good
grief. with the real way down low.
And Boss Guitar is on the other side.
Boss Guitar.
Right. That
might
have been one of the ones I gave my son, Mark. He was just talking about how I'd bring these stacks of demos home.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, he'd sit there while I'm doing something else. I'd say, play that. He'd go, play it, listen to the first step.
Yeah,
the other side.
So yeah,
I might have listened to Boss Guitar and scratched it and heard it.
Well, I had the picture sleeve just like Captain here.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and
got that.
One of the first times I came down to Channel 8 when I was visiting with my friend whose dad worked there, I had Ernie sign that picture sleeve.
No,
but you know
kidding.
But you know what he did, right? This is great. He grabs it and he rips off a portion of that white part at the top, and then signs Gulardi. So there's his picture sleeve with a big chunk out of it, like somebody took a bite and went, you know. But the little piece of paper with the name Gulardi.
Well, Ernie did that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd had this one fella calling from some school that he went to in Rhode Island or whatever, and doing for his alumni paper, and been trying for 2 weeks to get a hold of him. Gee, I can't talk to him. Write down the questions that he wants. So I got the questions, had it all neat on a nice piece of paper. All right, I'll give you the answers. Come back after the next two commercial breaks. Okay. Well, I don't know. We got a piece of paper, but it was all ripped up and everything. I don't know what happened to mine. And he wrote down, why'd you go into broadcasting? Because I didn't want to go to work. You know, very good.
Well, you know what's strange? When I went out to see him last year, I thought, this is going to be my one big chance to get a Gulardi autograph. Oh, boy. So I bring this 8x10. I do the interview. I said, look, I hope I'm not embarrassing you. He says, well, you should be embarrassed yourself by this interview. And I said, would you mind signing this? And he says, sure. He turns the picture over. He wants to sign the other side. I said, no, not there, the front. He says, I don't want to sign this stupid picture. I said, please, just do the front. Oh, all right, here. He hands it off to me. I said, you forgot the H in Gulardi. He said, I don't spell it with an H. I said, well, okay, makes it legitimate, I guess.
Yeah, so, he right. didn't, right. And, you know, you look at the shirts with the signature, the T-shirts and the right. sweatshirts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no H in it. But everybody who's used to the H, forget it. You know, what's Gulardi without an H in Gul?
Well, right? He told me, he says, listen, this is one of those magic markers, right? I said, it'll bleed through. Backwards.